Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great point here by Tim in Billings. Tim sent us a message on the Montana Talks app just a few minutes ago. Has John Tester ever apologized to Ronnie Jackson for calling him the Candyman? Has he ever even acted like he had any regret for slandering an active duty military member and trusted medical provider to three presidents from both parties? Tim in Billings then says, John Tester is a slime ball. Slime is exactly right. Look at the way he's now trying to slime Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. What a great speech by Tim Sheehy at the Trump rally Friday night. We'll get into maybe I'll play that speech for you here later this hour of the show. Our friends at the Right Side Broadcasting Network have given us permission to use any of the audio from their live stream throughout the night Friday night. In fact, even our friend David Noble did a quick little interview with RSBN. Maybe I'll share that with you, because that was a cool highlight of the night as well. Tiff in Hungry Horse says, great rally. Right on. John says, whoa, I could see Tim Sheehy running for president. I'll tell you what, he is that solid of a candidate, I tell you what. And then Cowboy Cody in Wolf Point said, go Trump. What a rally. I played some of the highlights in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll have more to follow coming up this hour and for the rest of the morning as well. Evelyn Pyburn with us every Monday talking business news and more. She's with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, did you catch the rally, or were you out enjoying the mountains this weekend?
Oh, I watched a lot of it on online. It was very good. I knew it was really good because there was almost no national publicity about it. So you kind of know from those kinds of things. But yeah, it was a very. I was glad I could watch it online because the crowd was so huge. I couldn't imagine struggling through that crowd and probably not getting as good a view as I did on a computer. But yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was absolutely great. Wait, God, you mentioned the crowd. I, you know, and I tried to give people a heads up. I tried to warn some people on Friday morning, but I also didn't want to discourage people from showing up, because showing up and braving those lines is part of showing your support and part of sending a message about how committed we are to making America great again and supporting Tim Sheehy and supporting Donald Trump. So, but I know the lines were just incredibly long. I mean, you know, we were blessed to have media passes since I have a radio show. And so we go in right where the media's at and everything. But man, people were out there overnight, early Friday morning. We had people calling in, and what were there, 8,500 to 10,000 people that made it inside, and then thousands outside that couldn't even make it in because there were that many people that showed up to show support for President Trump and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and more. Well, Evelyn, I definitely want to get your take on the biggest business headlines of the day, of the week, but also want to get more of your thoughts on the Trump rally and what they had. A lot of business came up there, a lot of pro-business policies, of course, that we'd all like to see again. So stand by, back with Evelyn after this.
I'm Chad Bergman with the Speaker's Lobby. Both the House and Senate voted in the past 8 months to ban the use of TikTok in the U.S. unless its parent firm, ByteDance, divests itself from the Chinese government. But now the House is removing all TikTok and ByteDance apps from its official congressional devices. That includes CapCut, Hypic, Lark, and Lemonade. It takes effect on August 15th. An official House email reads, quote, in the coming weeks, the CAO Office of Cybersecurity will distribute additional communications regarding the block and removal of desktop and web browser versions of ByteDance products. The federal government is in active litigation making the case that TikTok's connection to the Chinese government represents a national security threat. Use of ByteDance products by House employees would undermine that argument if they're using those apps on their phones. This marks an escalation of an earlier staff ban on TikTok. Despite the cybersecurity and national security concerns raised by the chief administrative officer of the House and the Biden administration, many lawmakers continue to use TikTok. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area today, a few late afternoon showers and storms are possible, mainly in the Bozeman area. High temperatures ranging from about 83 in Bozeman to around 90 in Billings. For tonight, still looking at isolated shower storm chances early in the Bozeman area. Temperatures will then drop back off into the mid-50s to around 60. More shower chances Tuesday. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
If you missed this earlier in the week, he fired his last shot at the Olympics in Paris on Sunday. Monday, he was on his way back home to Billings, Montana. And Wednesday morning, we were honored to have silver and bronze Olympic medalist Brady Ellison drop by our radio studios. Great conversation. I've got the full story and some incredible photos from Paris. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the story from the 1924 Paris Olympics that's not being told. Incredible story there, too. MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, yeah, lots of great things to talk about here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal on this Monday morning. She was in Colstrip on Thursday for the big Southeast Montana Development annual conference that they did, talking Colstrip and much more. So I definitely want to hear about that. That sounds like a very exciting, upbeat event that they held there. And we know that, you know, coal and Colstrip has been under attack by Liberal Senator John Tester, Kamala Harris, and the rest of the crew. So excited to hear about how that event went in Colstrip. Evelyn, any big takeaways? What stood out to you the most? You know, you were watching the live stream of the Trump rally, but what stood out to you the most, whether it's from a business perspective or just a Montana politics perspective?
Well, you know, I mean, I just found it absolutely uplifting and thrilling to see all those people. At the moment when Trump walks out and they're all cheering and just so ecstatic, and it's not, and I understood that it's not like Trump the man, but the things he stands for and in America and you know the idea of independence and liberty and just all the things that comprise working class America that really makes our country the strong country it is. And in that moment, I just thought, wow, this has got to be very uplifting and encouraging for people because of why they were there and what they were all supporting. It was just a real, real high point of the whole thing, I thought.
No, that's a great point, that it's more than about Trump himself. It's about Trump the movement. And I think that's what Montana Senator Steve Daines has talked about before, that it's not just Trump the man, it's Trump the movement. Because you're right, the people that are there, it's not just that they're excited to see Donald Trump in person. It's that the fact is that they see in him somebody who is fighting for them, somebody who is standing for them, but they see in him that our country is not finished yet, that we can literally make America great again. And working class folks, there were elderly folks. I felt so bad for the people that were in walkers and senior citizens, because, you know, they had been waiting out there and they had been standing in line. And now they were nice enough to let most of those folks in early so they could get out of the sun and sit down in their walkers inside or grab a seat, et cetera. But, you know, I mean, Donald Trump was going until almost midnight on Friday night. And you could just tell eventually some of the very elderly folks just, you know, they wanted to stay for the whole thing, but they had to get moving and get out of there. But it was pretty powerful to see the hardworking blue collar folks that are there. Real America, especially when you contrast it with some of the, you know, the bougie liberal media types that were sitting there watching it, of course.
Yeah, I kind of wonder sometimes. I would like to know how they rationalize some of the. You know, he accuses them of misrepresenting things, and we all have our own evidence of it at different times and stuff. And I would just, I mean, I know they have to know they've misrepresented issues. And I just, you know, as members of the media, I wonder how they justify that in their own minds and go on, you know. And I know I've heard some media people kind of get real hyper if they think that they're, you know, accepting any little thing that might, like a meal or something that might make them look like they're going to be, you know, bought off with it or prejudiced, and yet they just go whole hog in support of the left and many of those ideas and stuff. And I just find that really baffling how they justify that in their own minds.
Yeah, it's just like they've never asked any tough questions of John Tester here in Montana. And that's many in the Montana media. I thought some of the economic numbers in the press release announcing the rally that President Trump was holding in Bozeman on Friday night, they shared some numbers. Under Kamala Harris, Montanans have spent $10,068 more on transportation, $5,191 more on energy, $3,626 more on food, and $6,051 more on shelter on average since January of 2021. And then, of course, buying a home is out of reach for many because the median price has jumped 43%. And so we've seen the cost of Kamala and John Tester's policies repeatedly, time and time again.
Yeah, everyone is feeling it, and I mean, it's not going down. I thought that Mr. Barkey's comments about how prices, even if inflation slows or drops some more, the prices aren't going to drop, and that makes perfect sense if you understand why they are inflated anyhow. I mean, we've expanded the money supply, and you know, the prices aren't going to drop, and as long as they have all that cheap cash floating around out there.
So, yeah. Well, and certainly that ties into, you know, coal and coal strip. And, hey, we've spent how much more on energy? Almost over $5,000 more just on energy alone since Kamala Harris and John Tester's policies took effect. And yet they continue to attack coal and coal strip and mining in America. That's why I want to hear the good news. I want to hear Evelyn tell us about the Southeast Montana Development Annual Conference that took place in Coal Strip this past Thursday. She was there. We'll get to that right after this and right after the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Leaders from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Public Lands Council are not happy about an indictment of South Dakota ranchers Charles and Heather Maude. The family ranchers live in western South Dakota. They were recently indicted on federal land theft charges over a boundary issue on a 75-year-old fence. NCBA's Ethan Lane says the administrative process of determining a resolution of a boundary issue must take a normal business-like course of action and not an overreaction by the federal government.
And what's happening now is that oversight process is churning. They're digging into this, making sure they have their facts straight, making sure they understand the whole scope of the issue. And we're hopeful that that will bear some fruit here in the next few weeks as far as a larger conversation outside of the dark corners of the U.S. Forest Service as far as just what the hell they're doing up there and why they think it's appropriate to threaten a husband and wife, a mother and father, with federal prison.
The 75-year-old fence line in question caused the U.S. Forest Service to issue indictments served by Forest Service Special Agent Travis Lunders, who was armed and in full tactical gear, presenting the indictment to Charles and Heather Maude in action that South Dakota U.S. Senator Mike Rounds is calling an overzealous prosecution of a ranching family. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we always like to talk about the good news with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And certainly we did. It was good news, if you ask me, to have Donald J. Trump in Bozeman at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse on Friday night. By the way, I got to meet the brick suit guy, the guy that wore an entire suit that looks like a brick wall. He said, "Hey, it's so cool. I'm here at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse." He's attended like over 200 rallies or so. I'll have to share that audio with you. I thought, I'll catch up with this guy. But yeah, Evelyn Pyburn got some cool info here. One of our listeners just messaged me saying, "Shout out to the Billings Scarlets for defeating Eugene, Oregon yesterday in two games to advance to the American Legion World Series." So that's some good news. And then, of course, we got Dig It Days coming up at the Montana Fair in Billings. That's some good news. Exciting way to promote our trades education, our trades industry, the construction industry, and more. Tell us about your trip to Colstrip last week, though, first.
Okay, well, the Southeastern Montana Development Corporation holds an annual Energy Open Conference in Colstrip, and I went for the first time. I had read about it and heard about it before, but we went to Colstrip, and I have to say that the enthusiasm of the people there was absolutely amazing. We get lots of reports about the forced closures of the power plants, and the news seems to report a pretty grim picture of Colstrip as quickly becoming a ghost town and that people are leaving. But quite the reverse seemed to be happening. The future of Colstrip was described as not being a coal town, but being an energy hub in the future. And they were looking, you know, of course, at things that are being discussed about the future for Colstrip. And everyone seemed to be looking forward to these things, and they're very happy that Northwestern Energy is assuming ownership of the interests in the Colstrip plants held by Puget Sound and Avista, which will give them a major ownership and will allow Northwestern Energy to better direct what happens in the future. And Brian Bird, the CEO of Northwestern Energy, made it clear that they plan to operate the power plants long into the future, but they probably won't be using coal. They are very much exploring the possibility of becoming nuclear, and there were numerous presenters talking about this, the new technology involved in nuclear power, and that it's really nothing like what we think of as nuclear power plants of the past. They are safer and easier to operate and may very well last like as long as 50 years and maybe even 100 years. So they have a lot of efficiencies in them. But there are two significant barriers to nuclear. One is the cost and the other is the permitting time. There's a possibility of getting federal funding for nuclear technology, very much like Bill Gates got down in Wyoming. But if they don't get nuclear, Mr. Bird said they're going to build another natural gas plant like the one they have in Laurel. And I thought that was kind of a really great statement.
In Colstrip. So in Colstrip, yes. If they can't get nuclear down the road, so short term, I know, look, they want to keep coal running long as possible, which is great because not only do we want the power plants there, but we want the coal mine there because there's some great men and women that have great jobs and income because of the coal mine. And now, unless there's a way for them to ship that and sell it that way to keep the coal mine up and running, I know it's a little bit more of a logistical challenge from that location, but ideally, we'd have coal going as long as possible till that technology has to be, you know, worn out or replaced, right? But then, yeah, why not add nuclear? Why not add natural gas? So that's interesting. So they're saying, well, we'd like to get, this small-scale nuclear there. You're right. It's not the old-school nuclear. It doesn't have the meltdown risks like the old-school stuff used to have. It's pretty fascinating the way that technology has advanced. But if not that, then another natural gas plant. The point is we got to do something, and we got to keep Colstrip up and running. It's great to hear the enthusiasm and the optimism there.
Yes, and it permeated everything at the whole conference. Mr. Bird mentioned that there's going to be hundreds of natural gas plants like the one at Laurel built across the United States in the very near future. So this is what they built in Laurel is very much the leading edge, I guess you would say.
That's incredible. Hold that thought, Evelyn, if you can. We got to hit our Fox News update here, but if you can stick around with us for a few more minutes, I definitely want to get more insight on this. And I know you're digging it. I know you can't wait for Dig It Days, so I want to give you a chance to give a plug
for the electric transmission grid, and they're going to extend it going both east and west. Colstrip is right in the middle of that. And in the past, the lack of transmission lines in Montana has made our energy system quite inefficient. Yeah, that's what I want to say. And the U.S. Department of Energy will be granting this aid to the North Plains Connector, which is a 415-mile high-voltage direct current line between Colstrip and Center North Dakota, which will allow power to move from Portland to Minnesota and serve 20 states. So Colstrip is the hub of that, and it's a big, important, very important thing for our energy future. And one thing that they underscored there repeatedly is something that I think gets lost in all of the negative media about Colstrip, is that there is no air pollution coming from the Colstrip plants. People from Colstrip lamented that a typical ploy of the environmentalists is to take pictures of Colstrip plants in the middle of winter when water vapor or steam is most noticeable coming out of the stacks. And then they allow people to presume that it is pollution when it is nothing more than steam. And they are very proud of the fact that Colstrip probably has the cleanest air in the state. They have a commitment with the Indian Reservation downwind to be a number one airshed, which means they emit no air pollution, and the whole community.
And in what, like four decades or so that they've had these air monitors on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, the air monitor alarms went off once, and it wasn't because of Colstrip. It was because of something that was happening in Billings at the time. Isn't that great? Yeah. Hey, we got about a minute to go here, and great update all around. We've got more details on the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet if you check it out there, but less than a minute to go. Evelyn, tell us about Dig It Days happening at Montana Fair in Billings. Very cool what they're doing here to promote our trades industries.
Right. Well, this week is fair. The fair is going on, and Montana Fair is really important to our company here because it draws in about 250,000 people. So that's a big economic boost. But Dig It Days is on Friday and Saturday, and it is an absolutely marvelous thing for kids and young people who are interested in maybe entering the construction industry. There's going to be potential employers there and all kinds of information and opportunities to get scholarships. And that's what these sponsors are helping to do, is to raise awareness about construction. And the money we raise goes to fund scholarships and other family-oriented.
Yeah, just a great event. I know Jonathan McNiven's going to join us later in the week to talk a little bit more about it. That's taking place at Montana Fair in Billings later this week. And I know later this month they usually do a similar event in the Bozeman area as well. So very cool to promote our construction, trades, industry, and more.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
Disapproval of the U.S. Supreme Court is at an all-time high. Our Fox News survey shows 60% of voters are dissatisfied with the court. That's up from 55% last year and nearly double the number who were unhappy with the court in 2020. There's a similar change regarding the court's ideology. 45% believe it is too conservative, a new record. Only 19% say too liberal. Perceptions that politics influences court rulings also contribute to dissatisfaction. Most voters, 83%, say partisanship plays a role when justices are deciding cases, at least some of the time. Large majorities of Democrats, Republicans, and independents agree on that. And despite the shift in the court's makeup over the last several years, most Republicans join Democrats and independents in supporting a mandatory retirement age for Supreme Court justices. This ruling is unanimous. Check out our website, foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your poll parade.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I had a message from one of our listeners in Billings. Great to see you Friday night at the rally. I was shocked at how many young people were there. Youth, teenagers, mid-20-somethings. Was a great thing to see. Yes, it was. Jeremy Carl, senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, had a very, very good write-up, too, by the way. His reflections on attending the Trump rally in Montana. Go to jeremycarl@substack.com. He's a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, but lives in Bozeman. And he talked about, you know, how the attendees were mostly working class and middle class. And just how not only, quote, they believe in America and they love America deeply in their bones, not just with their voices. And he added this: they believe wholeheartedly that we can make America great again. That was why they were here. So it's a very interesting write-up that he did. All right, real quick, and then I'm going to get to some callers on the phone lines here. I was at the Trump rally Friday night. So was our friend David Noble. And as I told you Friday, David was live streaming via Twitch TV and his Twitch TV podcast at LCTR Fan, at Lecture Fan. And it was really cool. He went up and said hi to the crew at Right Side Broadcasting Network. And then they said, hey, why don't you join us on RSBN? And so David got to join them, and there are hundreds of thousands or maybe million plus viewers on Friday night for the Trump rally. Let me see if I queued it up in the right spot for you as David Noble got to join RSBN.
An attorney from here in Montana. So good to see you, David. How are you?
It's so good to be here. It's so awesome to be on RSBN. I love watching RSBN, and it's an honor that you'd be interviewing me.
Well, thank you. Glad you love us. We love everyone in Montana, too. Talk about the atmosphere tonight and how great this is for the state.
The atmosphere is incredible. It feels like a rock concert. Montana is so in favor of Donald Trump. The only reason that John Tester wins in this state to the U.S. Senate is because he lies to the people and he's backed up by the media and he pretends to be a conservative. He pretends to fight against the Democrats. And if you want open borders, then vote for John Tester. But I'm a fifth generation Montanan. My family homesteaded in Montana in the 1890s. And I'm going to do everything I can to save this state and this country.
Yes, and I can tell you're very enthusiastic about it. You're speaking from the heart. And everyone here that I spoke to today feels the same way that you do. Because, yes, we're here to support President Trump. But here in Montana, there are some Senate and state representative seats up for grabs, or House seats up for grabs, I should say, that are very important in this election. Let's talk about those seats.
So the congressional seats are incredibly important, but actually in Montana, we have a really big problem with our Supreme Court because our Supreme Court is invalidating all of the laws that our legislature is passing, including voter ID, bans on ballot harvesting. They actually had paid ballot harvesting and said that has to be allowed in this state. We have paid ballot harvesting in this state, even though the Montana legislature and the Montana governor said, no, we don't want it. Our Supreme Court said you have to allow it. So we have paid ballot harvesting here.
That's scary.
It's horrible, and I'm doing everything I can to fight against it. I'm live streaming on Twitch at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. I'm on Montana Talks Radio, and I'm a private practice litigator attorney where I'll sue anybody if they want to try to mess with our stuff. I'll defend our election integrity laws in court if it takes it. I'll do whatever it takes.
Well, I love the fight in you. It's because of people like you that we keep fighting because we feed off of each other, and so people here want to fight as well. How important, going back to the congressional seats, because that's a big reason why President Trump is here tonight. How important is that for Montana? Because we just need a few more seats to take the Senate, and Montana could be that state to help us do that.
Yeah, I think the people of Montana recognize that Donald Trump is going to win this state, and so we're focused on John Tester and defeating these Democrats in these other congressional races, which they're radicals. They're all radicals. They just lie and pretend they're not radicals, but they really are.
What a great performance there by David Noble. I didn't get a chance to even watch that yet because I was out there, you know, doing my own coverage. But, man, David, it was so fun. He was so excited to do that RSBN interview. I don't know about you, but when he first started talking there, I thought he was going to be like Hulk Hogan and just tear his dress shirt off, just rip the suit and tie off. He was so excited to be on RSBN and so excited to be at the Trump rally. Let's go to Tim in Billings on the phone lines. Hey, Tim, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. So one thing I wanted to point out about David, you know, he kept showing the crowd there at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse, packed to the gills.
Yeah.
Packed to the gills. And then you see the Harris campaign comes out and says, why do they have to put up these black curtains and make it look full? Well, that was her event. You know, the liberals, they just can't stop lying. It's just unbelievable. They have fake pictures of her standing at the side of a jet, and you look in the reflection of the plane, there's no people there. You look at these pictures, and you can tell that they're AI-generated because the people's faces are all weird, and the lettering on the shirts, they don't really spell anything because they can't spell anything because it's AI-generated, and so it has to blur out what it's supposed to say. So it's just completely disingenuous. But
yeah, you were watching. Yeah, well, real quick before we get to the reason why you called in is, you raise a very interesting point here. So David, yeah, he was live streaming on his Twitch TV podcast, and I kind of BS'd with him a little bit during the live stream as well. I was trying to update our Montana Talks website. We were kicking out radio updates and more live on Friday night, but David told me something interesting yesterday. He said he's got a few friends that are TikTokers, right? That are on TikTok. You know, I don't think he's really on TikTok. I don't have a TikTok account. China owns enough of this country, right? Without me giving them TikTok too. But he said, you know what TikTok was saying about the Trump rally? The communist Chinese on TikTok. All these TikTokers who only watched Trump rally coverage from TikTok, they wondered why the rally was so empty, why nobody was at the Trump rally in Bozeman. Like, they literally were being fed false, fake propaganda, because earlier in the night, yeah, as the crowd was slowly being going through security, entering the field house, yeah, as it got started, when the Montana folks were speaking, there were still seats were still filling up because people were still filling the arena. That place not only got packed to the gills, but there were thousands and thousands and thousands more who never even got inside. But if you were, you know, watching John Tester and the Communist Chinese TikTok, you would have never known that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the TikTok is owned by China. You know who else is owned by China? John Tester, Tim Walz, who's happened to travel to China over 30 times while he was in the National Guard. And, you know, what was a member of the National Guard doing in China over 30 times and honeymoon there?
On trips, you know, so paid for by the Communist Chinese, yeah. Hey, what was the point you wanted to make about because I got another caller on the line I want to try to get to here as well, but what was the point you wanted to make about nuclear power? I know you've got a relative you linked us up with a while back who is like one of the experts on nuclear energy.
So, Sabrina Johal, who was a guest of Montana Talks, she's I think she's like a senior business development, I don't recall exactly what her title is, but she works for General Atomics, and she came on the show. She was on a program, I believe it was on PBS, believe it or not. She and a professor from the University of Wisconsin, who comes from somewhere in Europe originally, they talked about developments in nuclear power and how they have not only created a fusion reaction, not a fission reaction. So all the nuclear power plants in operation right now are fission. So you have to have this chemical reaction where it could get out of control. You could lose control of the operation, which is very unlikely anyways. But you put energy in, and then it just keeps creating energy. With fusion, you have to put energy in, and you have to continually put energy in to duplicate or to replicate and multiply that energy. They have created fusion power in a laboratory. They duplicated it. We will have fusion nuclear power, nuclear energy, by 2035 is what their estimate is in the United States.
Very interesting. Well, and then I listened to a great podcast that Dr. Jordan B. Peterson up in Canada did talking about nuclear energy and the new technology and how, yeah, you won't have the risk of the meltdowns of the past. So that was fascinating insight as well. Real quick here. You know, I know some of you were thinking, man, I would have loved to gone to the Trump rally, but man, standing or sitting even for all those hours trying to wait in line, man, there's no way I could do it. I just got too much pain in my knees, too much pain in my hips, too much pain in my lower back. Even I was kind of feeling, I was like, man, I got to stretch here. I've been standing so long. But anyway, you know how it is. If you've got arthritis, bone on bone, constant pain, and I get it. You don't want to have to get surgery. And even the surgeons will tell you, don't get surgery unless you absolutely have to. Plus, you don't want to get hooked on those painkiller drugs. Those can be miserable as well. Well, what if there was a natural way to get over that pain? So you can go to, hopefully, the next Trump rally in Montana or get out and hike. Like you want to do. Well, get a hold of QC Kinetics. They specialize in regenerative medicine to do just that. Get you healed up the natural way. Call them today for a free consultation. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. 406-201-6263.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fox News commentary.
Trump running mate J.D. Vance trolled Kamala Harris on the campaign trail this week, and I'm here for it. What did he do? I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Democrat nominee Kamala Harris will not answer questions from the press. In fact, she avoids unscripted dialogue like the plague. Well, Trump running mate J.D. Vance decided to poke a little fun at her for it while on the campaign trail this week. On Wednesday, when both Vance and Harris were campaigning at similar times in the battleground state of Wisconsin, J.D. Vance walked right up to Air Force Two, telling the press he was getting a good look at his future plane, but also keeping them company since Kamala refuses to talk to them. He also correctly noted how shameful it is Kamala refuses to account for her radical past or explain to the American people if or why she's changed her mind. You know, like him or not, since he was tapped as Trump's VP pick just weeks ago, J.D. Vance has opened himself up to press questions, unscripted TV interviews, and has acknowledged his own past of controversial statements. Kamala will not do the same. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Early last week, every trader and asset manager in the country was imploring, no make that screaming, at the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates. Over the weekend, financial markets got rattled. In the space of a few days, people came out of the woodwork telling us the economy was falling fast. Except that it wasn't. A month of lower hiring rates does not equate to an economic freefall. A few days later, with the arrival of better data, nerves were calmed. And it reminded us that the immediate rescue of traders on Wall Street from the folly of their growth expectations is not, and never should be, the central bank's job. The abandonment of the inflation fight and the quick injection of easier money to make borrowing cheaper for deal-making in our financial centers is clearly in some people's interest. But others who don't have as big a megaphone to influence decisions might think otherwise. For those of us buying groceries instead of companies, inflation still exists. I'm Patrick Brecky.
Brought to you by online at listwithamber.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to have to save it for the 8 o'clock hour of the show. I was going to play a good portion of Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy's speech at the Trump rally on Friday night. But we'll save that for the 8 o'clock hour because we got some callers on the phone lines that want to weigh in. First up, Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, thanks for the call.
Thank you. I just want to thank both in Montana for receiving former President Donald J. Trump with respect. He is a former president, and he deserves good manners and respect. But I want to talk today about the difference between the progressives and the Democrat Party. Obviously, the progressives have overtaken the Democrat Party. We have proof in Kamala Harris and the Tampon Tim ticket. But I got a chance to talk to Ryan Bussey and Raffi last week on your sister station, KGVO, and I mentioned this to them, that Harris and Walsh were running as Democrats, but neither one was a Democrat. And I asked them, I said, you're running under the Democrat Party. Can you tell me the definition of what a Jacksonian Democrat is and what a progressive liberal is? Well, they hee-hawed around, and neither one could really answer me. And finally, Raffi said, well, I'm a Montana Democrat. they said they never heard of those terms before. So I just want to say that neither Ryan Bussey or this Raffi really should be running as Democrats if they can't define what the Democrat Party is or was. They really should be running as independents. I think that it's a falsehood, and we should.
Well,
really,
except for they aren't independent, that would imply that they're somehow moderate, whereas these guys are radical left wing activists. They're as radical left wing as you point out, Tampon Tim and Crazy Kamala and more. But no, great point though, Nancy. I'm glad you got to hold their feet to the fire a little bit. Yeah. They're Montana Democrats, which anymore is no different than being a California Democrats. All right, we got a couple more minutes to go. David Noble on the phone lines. David, thanks for calling in. Nice surprise this morning.
Hey, thanks so much. I heard Tim's call about the crowd size, and heard you play the interview on RSPN. Thanks so much. I was about to rip my shirt off like Hulk Hogan. I was so excited. the whole night, I was just so energized. We got out of there about 11:30. Went by Winco, picked up a Take and Big Pizza. Me and my wife and family were at my parents' house in Manhattan eating frozen pizza at 1:30 a.m. We hadn't been out that late in a long time. But here's what I wanted to say. Okay, so we got in there about 4:45 p.m. I got my press credentials, get into the press pit, and sit there from about 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. watching as people slowly stream in, because they were slowly streaming in from all the way from about 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. It was completely packed. And Tim was right. I was purposely showing the entire Brick Breeding Fieldhouse. By the way, I'm going to be taking some of those clips from my live stream and putting them on YouTube. If you want an on-the-ground press pit view of that rally, you'll be able to see it.
Awesome.
But it completely packed the house. And then the last people came in. They shut off the seating. And then all of a sudden, this rush of people came in. And they said, hey, we're the last people in. We're the last 300 people in. Everything is standing room only now. They just let us back in. And then I asked them, what time did you guys get here? They said 2 p.m. So 2 p.m. was the latest you could have gotten there and still gotten in. And I asked them, okay, were there still people behind you? They said, yes, there's still 10,000 people behind me. So it was packed inside Brick Breeden. There were thousands of people outside. And then afterwards, I talked to one of my friends, actually a friend from Manhattan, who said, hey, I was on TikTok, and on TikTok, I kept seeing all these videos of empty stadiums with like cricket sounds saying this is the Trump rally. Because apparently on TikTok, there was a bunch of people on TikTok thinking that they were going to get tickets to the Trump rally and then not show up, so that there were nobody. Of course, that's not how the tickets work or anything.
That total fake Chinese propaganda, anti-Trump, anti-Tim Sheehy Chinese propaganda to benefit Tester and Biden. What else do we need to know? Great insight, David. Hey, if you want to call back later, I know we were short on time this hour, but feel free, because it's great to get your insight. Think about this. Look at how excited those people were to get into the Trump rally. And there's 10,000 more behind us. Let not your heart be troubled. There's an army behind you.